This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? This is Trey Biddy with HogSports.com, HAWGSports.com. I could have titled today's show any number of things, but Anthony Black, Decision Day, figured that would grab a lot of attention. It's a lot to talk about today with NCAA basketball run to the Elite Eight, with spring football starting back up, and, of course, recruiting never stops. We're going to jump in with Danny West on that. All that and more on Hog Sports Live. Your eyes got wide when you saw that Anthony Black title. We're going to talk about that, of course. I'm going to get to that in a minute. We would be talking with Curtis Wilkerson on that, but he's in transit right now, coming back from San Francisco. I'm sure all of you guys enjoyed Curtis's coverage over the past several weeks. He went from Tampa to Buffalo to San Francisco. Didn't get a chance to go to New Orleans, unfortunately. I don't think that diminishes anything that Arkansas did. The turnaround that they had this season was absolutely remarkable. Going back to January, they ran into a better team that was peaking at the right time in Duke. The good news for Duke, as I tweeted after the game, is that Arkansas always seems to lose to the eventual national champion. So all you can say is good luck to Duke, right? And know that things are on the horizon for Arkansas basketball, looking pretty positive. So, but at the same time, you know, we're going to move into discussion about next year a little bit, and we're going to talk about some of the things going on with recruiting and the All-America game, Anthony Black's decision. But it's important to make sure that you don't forget about this team and reflect and appreciate what this team has done for the program. Just like the team last year set things up for this year, so has this team set things up for the future in Razorback basketball. So exciting things going on. Before we get started any further, I want to remind you all, of course, there's plenty of ways to watch and listen. You can always tune in on Facebook Live. Be sure to follow the page if you haven't done so already. Become one of 85,000 Razorback fans to do so. Also available on YouTube. Throw us a like or a thumbs up on both of those channels if you haven't done so already. And on YouTube, make sure to hit the notifications bell after you subscribe so you're notified anytime we upload new videos. Also available on Apple Podcasts. Throw us that 5-star review. Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, anywhere else you can think of to find your favorite podcast, we are there. All right. As I mentioned, we're going to be joined with Danny West. Be joined by Danny West, I should say, here in a little bit. But Arkansas falling to Duke in the Elite Eight, 78-69. Just didn't have it in this one. Just didn't have it in this one. Jalen Williams had a big game, 19 points, 10 rebounds. J.D. Notae and Stanley Moutet each had 14 points, but just couldn't put it together. Duke had a better team than Arkansas. Now, not to diminish, again, anything that these players have done this season, because some of them have had remarkable seasons, but the fact that Eric Musselman put this group together, the length of time that it took to put things together, because there was a time where you were thinking, they got a lot of pieces, but the puzzle's not coming together. It may not happen this year. And they said, you know what? We're going to find a way. And they did. They did it with their defense. The roster is not the most talented roster Arkansas has ever had. There are some good players on this roster. I would challenge that it's not as talented as last year's roster. And look what they did. They knocked off the number one overall seed in the tournament when everybody said they couldn't do it. Everybody said they couldn't do it. I think it's ironic to hear so many Gonzaga fans complaining about the calls. Like, to be an Arkansas person and know what Arkansas goes through with getting a lack of calls sometimes, it just happens. It happened in this Duke game. There were times, you know, and I made a joke like during the game. I was like, what, Trey Wade got called for a foul. We're not going to go to the NCAA expert and find out why this wasn't a foul. You know, there's a certain feeling you get, you know, with some of these games. Like, I don't know. It felt like everybody was relieved that Duke was taking off and winning the other day, you know, who was calling the game. And then it was just sounded like concern the whole game when Gonzaga was losing to Arkansas. But Arkansas is putting themselves on a different level and just bright things. And we'll talk about that here. But Arkansas finished in 28-9, the second year in a row that they finished with fewer than double-digit losses. A great season once again, and again, ran into who I think is probably the eventual national champions. It's crazy to think about, too, like, for as wild as this tournament was. And, again, you know, I don't want to get Gonzaga fans mad at me or anything because I have plenty of respect for that program and like Mark Few and everything. There were some rough calls in that one against Gonzaga. There were some calls, though, that they're complaining about that are 50-50 calls that could – are obviously their fouls, you know. I mean, they're I've seen those plays, you know, those fouls get called all the time, but they're complaining like he never touched anybody, you know, and I'm talking about Chet Holmgren. But there were a lot of bad calls throughout this tournament. I mean, there were plenty of them. And I know stepping out of bounds there, you know, ended up in a three, yada, yada. But it's been a poorly called tournament overall. I will agree with that. I don't think that was the difference in the Gonzaga game. Arkansas was up, what, 52-46 at that point with, what, 3.5 to go? That wasn't the difference in that outcome. You know, Arkansas was already doing solid work. But Duke was just too much for him. And there were a couple of calls, obviously, you might disagree with. But, again, they're bang-bang, ticky-tacky. You know, they could go either way. So, Arkansas lost to the better team. I think Arkansas was better than Gonzaga. I think Duke would have slaughtered Gonzaga in this time around. So, J.D. Notte finishing with 18.3 points, 4.6 rebounds, 2.3 steals per game. He fell under 40% field goal percentage, fell under 30% three-point percentage, just kind of dipped a little bit there towards the end. Shouldn't take away from how good he was, how many clutch plays he made. Stanley Amude just got better and better. I mean, Stanley Amude went from being a guy that's like, you know, I felt like he just did not know his role with this team for so long. And he ended up being a guy that's just like flushing it, knocking down threes at 37%. Jalen Williams was fantastic all season, almost averaged a double-double, 10.9 points, 9.8 rebounds per game. Audis Tony, will he come back next year? Will Jalen come back next year? I think the prevailing thought that is that Jalen probably will. He has a chance to maybe move into that first-round conversation with another year. Work on his three-point shot a little bit. He's got a good stroke. It's just, you know, it's a little flat. He could get a little bit more arc on it. I think his percentage would improve. But does Tony come back? I think he would be a welcome addition back. I think we underestimate. And even in the Duke game, there's 7:26 to go, and Tony gets his second foul. Not a word from Nance, Rafferty, Grant Hill. Not a word. Nobody mentions the importance of losing. Now, Jalen Williams, yeah, but Tony just like an afterthought that he exited the game with 7:26 left. And, in fact, in one of my group threads with a bunch of my buddies, none of them knew that Tony had fouled out. They didn't realize it because they never mentioned it. But it was a big point in that game. Obviously, down the stretch, Arkansas finished the half terribly bad. I mean, they had a chance to close the gap and ended up just giving a bunch of points. There's 12.3 seconds left. There's 12 seconds left in the shot clock. You can take it all the way down. Usually you start making your movement about seven seconds left. And I don't know why Likes decided to jack three and they go down and score at the buzzer. And right then you're just like, I mean, that's 45 points at half. Crap, you know? So just not very good execution there towards the end. Devo Davis, 8.3 points, 3.7 rebounds. Devo made some improvement this year in a lot of areas, but also took a step back in a lot of areas. So I would look for him maybe to just continue to hone his offensive game a little bit more. He's obviously very dangerous on defense, but he should be back next year, I would assume. Vanover, who knows? Trey Wade was the difference. A lot of times with Arkansas, it's like they've got four guys you can count on, and then who's the fifth? You know, and that's the thing about this game. It's a team game. It's not just about your five starters. And that's a big part where Duke was the difference. Jackson Robinson, you expect him back. Kamani Johnson, K.K. Robinson. There's been some question marks with K.K. He hasn't played a whole lot this year. Chance Moore, you know, that's another one. You know, looking ahead to, let's see, what's coming back. Well, first of all, the NCAA tournament's still going on. It's Saturday and Monday, I guess. I think they should give them a little bit more time when we get down to the Final Four. You know, not just go Saturday, Sunday off, Monday. Like, let's give them some time to, like, really prepare for that championship game. But this is the way they've been doing it for years. So, Saturday, April 2nd, you got Villanova and Kansas, 1-2. And then you got Duke and North Carolina, 2-8. The matchup that everybody wanted to see happen. And, again, it's crazy that the field was – and I started to talk about this, but I lost my train of thought. But the field was so wild this year. Okay, and there were so many upsets. And you had things that never happened before. And then we get down to the end of it, and it's Duke, UNC, Villanova, and Kansas. Four blue bloods. It has been a wild tournament. It was fun. It was definitely fun. And it's always better when your team's in it, right? I mean, just because Arkansas's in it and, you know, I'm following all of Curtis's information and stuff and all his inside analysis, everything he put on the board, the notes, the inside information, everything he did was fantastic. And, you know, just following along with that, watching the tournament games, it was fun. It's been a fun tournament, and then it'll continue. And, again, Arkansas lost in the Elite Eight. You got to be good, first of all, and you got to be a little lucky to win in this tournament. You got to have both. At some point, you got to have some luck go your way. Almost every team has experienced that at some point in the tournament and when they won the national championship. So, it's been an enjoyable tournament, no question about it. And I'll say this, too, about seeding, because there's been so much talk about seeding and so-and-so didn't get a good seed, and they should have had better, and so-and-so didn't have a worse seed, or so-and-so shouldn't have been in the tournament. Look, I know it matters and stuff, but this tournament gets so crazy. People get knocked off and stuff. What you need to be worried about is if you're peaking at the right time and if you got a good team. Because if you don't have a good team that's playing well, you're going to lose. I don't care what seed you are. You're going to lose if you're not playing well. And I know the statistics, when you go down and break it out, it plays pretty well. A 1 versus a 16, you know, it's very unlikely to happen. 2 versus a 15, slightly more likely to happen. 3 versus 14, slightly more. I mean, it's amazing how accurate that is from a percentage standpoint, your chances to get knocked off. But, I mean, when you get past that, like, you're playing a good team. You're playing a good team in the round of 32, almost without question. You know, a team that just came off a big win. You're playing. So, like, the seeding matters, but ultimately I'm not 100% sure that it is – so huge a deal, because it may matter, like, if you get to the second weekend or not, basically, you know, because you're a 1 seed, you know, and you play, you don't have to play, like, you know, top 4 seed. So maybe that matters. But ultimately, when we're talking about winning it, getting down to, like, the Elite Eight, where people say, okay, this is an elite group of teams. You know, Sweet 16 is nice. I'm not saying it's not. But the Elite Eight, Final Four, those are the games that everybody's, like, you know, really – starting to, like, all right, these are the championship caliber teams. So, but to get to that point, you got to be a good team, period, you know, and you got to have a little luck too. All right, so Arkansas's basketball recruiting class, looking ahead to next year, number 2 ranked class in the entire country, number 1 in the SEC. We haven't even talked about Anthony Black yet, have we? He's making his decision tonight. Nick Smith, Jordan Walsh, Darian Ford, Barry Dunning, and Joseph Pinion. That's who's on board right now. 5 4-stars. All ranked in the top 100 players nationally. Actually, all ranked in the top 88 nationally. Nick Smith is number 6 on the 24/7 Sports composite in the entire country, and he's been blowing up at the McDonald's All-America practices. Jordan Walsh, another 5-star. So you got 2 5-stars in the McDonald's All-America game, and Anthony Black deciding tonight. If he picks Arkansas, that's 3. Okay. Duke and Kansas right now have 3 recruits, and the SEC schools lead all conferences with 7 total players. Again, that could change if they get Anthony Black. They'd be right there with Duke, Kansas, and increase the number to 8 for the SEC if they get him. I mean, right now it's down to Gonzaga, Arkansas, TCU, G League, Oklahoma State. Is that it? I believe that's right. Before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about Nick Smith, because Nick Smith's been blowing up. They did this breakdown. I think it was Eric Bossy, did this breakdown on the top performers so far at McDonald's All-America practice. I'm going to read you what he said, and you can read this at 24/7 Sports. Just go to Hog Sports, HAWGSports.com. You'll see it on the front page. So Nick Smith, 24/7 Sports, number 5 ranked player in the class of 2022. So 24/7 Sports has him a little bit higher than the composite. The Arkansas-bound combo guard has been as impressive as any player in the gym. The rate at which he continues to improve is remarkable. When you're already ranked so high, there isn't much room to move up, but he's making a pretty strong argument as the best backcourt player in this class. If we're being frank, no other player's name has been on the tip of scouts' tongues more than Smith's. No ball handler has been more slippery off the dribble. He's worked with athleticism, and his jumper has been falling. At the end of the day, guards who can convert contested buckets are coveted, and nobody has been more impressive when it comes to creating space, getting looks, and making defenders pay for the slightest of mistakes. That's some pretty solid praise against a loaded field at practice. I mean, the most loaded field that you can get in high school sports. So, as I mentioned, Anthony Black deciding tonight, 6:30, 8, somewhere around there. They've got the jam session, ESPN, whatever thing, ahead of the All-America game. Anthony Black on 24/7 Sports is a number 14 ranked player in the country, number 1 point guard, number 2 in Texas. The composite has him 22 nationally, 3 point guard, 3 in Texas. He's a 5-star recruit, 6'7", 185 pounds out of Duncanville, Texas. Okay, we mentioned the schools that he's down to right now. I hear good things at Arkansas. I also hear people from other places saying good things. It's possible that nobody knows really for sure.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Gonzaga seems to feel pretty confident about him. People I talk to in Arkansas feel confident. There's been some rumblings that TCU might be the outside shot. We're going to find out here shortly. The speculation is almost coming to an end. By the way, did you guys enjoy Curtis's coverage from the postseason? I just thought he did a fantastic job. If you notice, I didn't do any videos afterwards, after the games and stuff. Curtis did everything. I thought he did a great job with his stand-ups. One time there was a fight between some guy and police officers in the background. He held strong and completed. I thought he did a great job in his coverage. Just not, I mean, not just like, you know, his tail of the tape breakdowns, just his regular press conference reviews, all that kind of stuff. Just his matchup previews, his post-game analysis. He does a fantastic job. And Curtis has a strong basketball background. I love basketball. People like question me all the time, like, well, you don't really know. I mean, I play basketball all the time. I coach my daughter's third grade basketball team. I don't know if that counts for anything, but it's something I've got in my resume. And I watch a ton of basketball, not just Razorbacks. I watch a ton of stuff. I love basketball, but Curtis just takes it to another level just because of his background, being, you know, played in college on the NAIA level, was a former coach in college, NAIA level again, trainer, athletic director, was interim head coach for a little while. Worked for Busting Brackets, a bunch of other stuff. And he just brings so much knowledge, has really taken our coverage in basketball to another level. I'm hoping that's going to be the case also with our man Andrew Ellis when it comes to baseball, because baseball is also in full swing. What is Arkansas, 8-4, 8-5 right now, something like that in baseball? But anyway, we're all watching Anthony Black. I mean, what's crazy is, like, Duke – it will be a smidge ahead of Arkansas still in the class rankings. Arkansas will be number one. And Duke, I think last time I did the class calculator, Arkansas, if they get Anthony Black, will still be number two. Barely. So. So Arkansas baseball, as I mentioned, just switching gears real quick, beat Missouri 6-4 to wrap the three-game series. They won 2-1 in the series. See what's up next for Arkansas baseball. Midweek game on Tuesday and Wednesday against Little Rock at 6:30 in Fayetteville and 4 o'clock on Wednesday. 6:30 on Tuesday, 4 o'clock on Wednesday for Arkansas baseball this week, the 29th and 30th. And then I kind of been pointing to this series a lot. It's Mississippi State, three-game series in Fayetteville, 6-6-32. Mississippi State just dropped out of the top 25 on D1 baseball just recently. They've got a good squad. It hasn't been a great start, really, I guess, when you look at what was expected from them versus what they're doing right now. But Arkansas ranked number two right now, 18-4. They're ranked number three last week on D1 baseball. Mississippi State is 15-10, 3-3 start in conference play. They just wrapped up. I think they won 2-1 against Georgia in that series. Or was it Georgia? No, it was Alabama. Excuse me. Alabama. So 7-6, 8-7, and then lost 2-6. So they went 2-1 last time out. They played Memphis in a midweek game on Tuesday. Just one game. Where are we at now? I'm going to get to Danny at the end of the show today. By the way, if you're listening, Danny, I mentioned that to you, you'd be later. But I want to talk a little bit about spring football first. Okay, so just some of my impressions on the newcomers. Andrew Chamblee, I think that he really looks the part out there. I think that he's big, even though there's some other guys that are just absolutely massive. He just looks like a left tackle. Looks like he's been in college weight room for a while. Amarian Harris is absolutely enormous. Absolutely. He's 362 pounds at 6'7". Reminds me a little of Takias Crawford, but taller and not quite as boxy. Quincy McAdoo. I've just seen McAdoo out there a little bit. He's wearing number 81. I haven't seen him out there a whole lot. Rashad DeBinion, I initially said that he reminded me a little bit of TJ. I think he's actually a little bit bigger than TJ Hammonds, but I said he reminded me size-wise of TJ, but I think he's actually a little bit bigger. He's shown some good quickness. Sam Pittman's been pleased with him so far. Let's see, who else? Anthony Brown, I've seen him. Anthony Brown has gotten a lot of action. Like, he's up there with the second group running a lot of stuff. But he's gotten a lot of action, a guy that they like in the secondary. Manny Powell's been out, obviously, with a knee injury. Jordan Crook, I think, like, when you talk about guys that look like, all right, this is a linebacker that looks like he's going to have a future here. Jordan Crook looks like that guy. Jalen Lewis has done some good things out there. I haven't seen him just a whole lot. But he's a pretty good-sized cornerback, you know. James Joyner, I mentioned, is bigger than I thought he was. He looks like almost as big as Rocket Sanders. Like, almost as big as Rocket Sanders. So, when you see 6 foot 210 and you see him in person too, you never really fully know until they get on campus standing next to other college athletes, right? But Joyner, I think his size is definitely accurate. Good-looking kid. Tyrus Washington, speaking of good-looking kids, I remember, as I mentioned before, maybe on my last show, I saw number 8, and I was like, I had to get my program. I was like, who's number 8? Kid looks good. It's Tyrus Washington. J.J. Hollingsworth, another guy who's fills that. I mean, 6'4", 250 is what he's listed at. I would say he's all of it. Broad shoulders, good build, a little bigger than I thought he was. Dax Courtney's been out. He's there, but he's been out. Caden Henley, I think he's moved well. I would say 6'2 is probably an accurate height for him, 6'2", 225. Saw Max Fletcher kick once. I timed it. It was 4.2 seconds, which is a pretty standard time. Eli Stein's out there also. As for the transfer additions, Latavius Breeny, big, thick-bodied safety. I mean, he's not rolling with the first group. I think potentially he could be. Probably going to push Simeon Blair for a starting spot. Seen Cade Fortin, the walk-on quarterback from South Florida, throw a little bit. He's made some good throws, good-sized guy. Dwight McLuthern talks a lot of trash. They want to get him to quiet down a little bit, but he's making sure everybody knows he's there. Really good looking. I think he's 6'2", 182 is what he's listed at. Really good looking, put together cornerback. Good size on him. I think it's probably just a matter of time for him. Drew Sanders, I haven't seen him do a whole lot. He's got a bit of a hamstring issue, and I think he's been limited a little bit in team. Looks the part, though, 6'5", 232. Just haven't seen him do a whole lot of stuff. And with linebackers, you really want to see him, start hitting some people. and that just hasn't gone on a lot. Just a couple days, one day in pads, I think. Landon Jackson's been out with a knee, and then Jaden Hazelwood has really looked the part too. I thought Sam Pittman, it was interesting. He mentioned, he's like, why is he running so slow? And then he, you know, turns on the film later, and it's just, he's a long strider and eats up a lot of yards with a single stride. So, but Hazelwood has looked good out there. You know, there's been some other twos. I'm not going to go into all the guys, but, you know, like Keetron Jackson, I think, has a real shot to be really good this year, make a big improvement, a big jump forward, and there's some other guys like that as well. All right. Now we're going to get to Danny West. How long have we gone? 23 minutes? That's a good time. That's not too bad, not too late to get Danny in. All right. For those of you who don't follow Danny West, you can follow him at DannyWest247. Just does a fantastic job for us and has for a number of years covering Razorback recruiting, which, again, you know, all these sports start and stop. You see more influence from Curtis, more influence from me or Andrew, but recruiting just never, never ends.
Danny,
how you been, man?
I'm good. What's going on?
Oh, well, there's been so much to talk about. I mean, I haven't really completely wrapped up Arkansas's basketball season, so I wanted to talk about that. Big decision tonight for Anthony Black. Does he come to Arkansas? Would certainly be a huge addition. You know, when we talk about – at the same time, like, I don't want to, like, it's, you know, lose what this basketball team has done and forget about it too quickly, because what they did I thought was remarkable this year. But there is a bright future coming for Arkansas basketball. It's hard not to wonder what's going to happen. And just all the different ways that Muss has done things, I mean, has been so impressive also. So before we get into recruiting, Danny, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the basketball program and maybe where they're headed, since we're just wrapping up Arkansas's run in the NCAA tournament.
Well, here's the bottom line for me. I'm not naive. When they've played poorly or down to their competition, I think I've been somewhat vocal about it. But bottom line for me, Trey, forget the ups and downs. I think they maximized their roster, got every ounce of it out of the talent that they had this year. And, you know, I did some research this morning looking at teams, blue blood programs, and the last time they've gone to back-to-back Elite Eights, I think it'd be surprising to a lot of people just how rare that is. I can run through some of those if you'd like. But
yeah, let's hear it.
All right, Duke, the last time they've gone back-to-back Elite Eights, 2017 and 18. Kansas, 16 and 17. North Carolina, 15 and 16. Kentucky hasn't done this since 2013 and 14. Arizona did it the same year, 13 and 14. That was the last time. UCLA hasn't gone back-to-back Elite Eights since 06, 07. Indiana, 91, 92. Villanova, 81, 82, and Gonzaga has never done it. So, you know, I'm big on perspective, and when you put it into perspective like that, I think it raises some eyebrows and shows people just how impressive it is. Mm-hmm. I think he did raise the bar. I think I'm a big believer in expectations for programs. I think expectations should be high at Arkansas. I've always said that, sometimes to my detriment, but I totally believe it. I think Arkansas can be as good as any in the country, and I stand by it, and I think they're back. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. I think he's woken up the sleeping giant, and they're back.
Danny, I've always said that Arkansas should be in the NCAA tournament 3 out of 4 years, and really 4 out of 5 years, and and that should be the standard. Now, you might say that could be a little bit different, maybe because of the transfer portal and all the stuff you can do. But I think it's fair to expect 3 out of 4 years in the NCAA tournament and making a run at least one of those years. And they've done more than that with Musselman. I don't see how he does it sometimes. I mean, because some of the schools that you mentioned there, that some of these schools that are in the NCAA tournament right now, this roster, as much as you thought you were going to love them, then you were like, man, I don't know if I like this team, and then you fall in love with them all over again. But it's not a bunch of, four stars and five stars. It's a bunch of grizzly veterans that, have paid their dues and that will fight you. And that's the team that he's assembled. And I don't want to dwell on it too much, but I'll look at next year, and next year's team is not going to be like that. I mean, they're going to have some pieces back, obviously, from this team. But next year, we're looking at some other guys like Jordan Walsh and Nick Smith and possibly Anthony Black, Darian Ford.
I thought you had a good tweet the other day where you said they're on the verge of out-talenting people.
Yeah.
You know, we really haven't seen that yet. Now, they had a talented team last year, obviously, with Moses and Isaiah and all those guys, Justin. But, you know, this year, the talent kind of – am I wrong in thinking this was not a very talented – I mean, not to say it wasn't very talented, but compared to last year.
There's not a first rounder on this team. You know, J.D. Notae and Jalen Williams might be two guys you would say maybe would have a shot at a second round pick. You know, maybe that changes for Jalen Williams down the road. I think right now you might be talking about him as a second round possibility. I think he can play himself into a first round with just a little bit more skill, a little better three-point shooting, then I think that could happen for him. But you're right. I mean, I would take, like, if we're talking about just pure talent, I'm taking last year's team, you know? Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, Jalen Tate, too, as far as defense.
Like that, yeah. As long as they keep playing defense like that and buying into that, they're going to go as far as they want to go, especially next year with a more talented roster. But for me, it's the defense. I've just – you know, I watch a little bit of college basketball here and there and Big 12 quite a bit, and I haven't seen many. I said it a few weeks ago when my wife said, hey, maybe we'll meet in the tournament this year, Arkansas, Kansas. I said, you don't want that. You don't want that because Arkansas would shut them down. Now, fast forward a few weeks later, I think KU is playing much better defense, obviously. But at the time, Arkansas would have beat the brakes off of KU this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Kentucky took them earlier in the year.
Big time.
So I know we can talk about basketball, and it's been fun, but you're here to talk a little bit of recruiting stuff. So spring break is over. What, just overarching generally, what can we expect right now with recruiting in football?
Sure. Yeah, last week was pretty slow. Coaches got out. You know, they get to go enjoy spring break, too, so I know they did that. I think I saw one new offer, Trey, last week, and that was Kamari and Franklin. I talked to him last night. He's a 2024 defensive tackle out of – I'm going to mess this up – but Lake Comorant out of Mississippi, 6'5", 260, already had offers from Alabama and Florida State, two Mississippi schools. Tennessee, Texas, so, you know, if he's already got those and he's already 6'4", 260, he's probably going to be a top 24/7 type guy. But he told me last night he's going to be up here soon. He's got Mississippi State on Thursday, going to LSU this weekend. So this is a guy that, you know, he'll travel. And I think Arkansas is going to at least get him on campus at some point. But that was, you know, it was pretty slow last week, buddy, to be honest with you. And then the previous new offer before that was 13 days ago now. That was KD Shepherd. He's a 2023 wide receiver and a guy that I think, you know, people ought to start paying more attention to. He was actually here on March 5th, and they offered him maybe a week later, 6'3", 190 out of Highland Home, Alabama. So keep an eye on that guy. Not a ton of offers so far. UCF, Southern Miss, I want to say Troy offered KD, but Arkansas on that offer list now, and I think probably going to be one to watch for.
Is there anything coming up, Danny, like a group junior day or a prospect day or something like that? Aside from
individual? I think prospect days are pretty much over with. I think their goal was to try to get those out of the way, you know, prior to spring football starting. Mm-hmm. Now, April 9th and April 16th, two Saturdays, those are going to be big visit days. Obviously, they got scrimmages both of those days, and I'll get an updated list for everybody to kind of refresh their memory. The visit dates have been so sporadic over the last few weeks. You know, I plug one here and there, but need to get an organized list together. But they're going to have some studs on those two dates. Then, of course, the spring evaluation period. We haven't said that in a long time, but that starts April 15th. And runs through May 31st, I believe. So that'll be Coach Pitt's first one. Can you believe that? He's going into his third season here at Arkansas, and he's never had a spring evaluation period to get out and go see these guys. So I'm curious what their game plan might be for that. Obviously, they'll still be in full swing in spring ball when that starts on April 15th, but I would imagine they're going to use the back end of that to really get out and spread out some new offers.
Everybody does it different. Some coaches will get out and, like, right on that first date on, you know, April 15th and get out and see recruits. And then some of them will just wait because you only get – it's like, what is it, 56 evaluation days or something spread out over 2 months. And yeah. So it's and that's an evaluation day is any time a coach leaves the campus. It's not like a day. Like, so five coaches leave, that's 5 days right there.
That's right.
So
I do want to mention, Trey, they've got a big one on campus today. I kind of buried the lead a little bit, but a big kid,
offensive
Logan
lineman.
Reichert,
yep.
Offensive lineman, 6'7", 345. That's plenty big.
Plenty big.
And kid out of Raytown, Missouri. So what's funny about Logan, he's a kid that was offered on May 4th of last year, and that was just before Brad Davis took that LSU job. So, you know, about a month later, Coach Kennedy takes over, and now he's leading the charge there. And you know, the offer list speaks for itself. The composite has him as a four-star. We, 24/7, actually have him, I would say, considerably lower as a high three-star. Yeah, but, you know, the offer list is there. He's got Missouri, Ole Miss, LSU, a lot of big-time offers there. And I've been really impressed with that offensive line group of visitors that they've been able to attract. He's just the next of a long list of four-stars. Marcus Dill, Rod Kearney, Luke Brown, Connor Stroh, Bryce Lovett, Kobe Keenum out of Alabama, Joe Crocker, Bison Lang, Charles Jagusa, Madden Sanker is going to be here for an official in June. So one after another. Coach Cody Kennedy's doing an outstanding job. I don't know yet which ones they're going to end up with, but I'd venture to say this could be their best O-line class since Coach Pitt got here.
Danny West joining us with 24/7 Sports, hogsports.com. You can follow him at DannyWest247. And, Danny, I'm not going to go into too much of your big red board, but for those of you who don't follow Danny and read up on his stuff, it is a VIP article. You do need a subscription. It's $1 right now for your first month. But on this big red board, Danny, I'm going through it. It's all for defense. So, first of all, there's a lot of trending in the right direction at the safety position. I mean, there's like five guys you've got trending upwards into the warm category at safety. There's a guy at cornerback trending up, a guy at linebacker that you seem to like the direction there. Same with defensive end. And then defensive tackle is another one where there's a couple of guys that are really surging in the right direction. How do you think this class is going to play out? I mean, right now, last check, they're ranked number third nationally, and everybody's narrative on that has been, well, it won't last. Well, you know what? They've never been here before, so that's pretty rare territory. So where do you think this class is headed right now based on the trends that you've seen so far?
Still trending in the right direction. Now, I'm going to say again, and I think we both know they're probably not going to finish third in the country. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. We're realistic here. I've said for a long time, dating back to last summer, really, Trey, I said this 2023 class has a chance to be the highest rated ever at Arkansas, and I'm sticking with that for now. I think they're very much on pace for that. You talk about some of these DBs. That's what you want to see when you get a new coach in here. Mm-hmm. You can say what you want about Sam Carter. Some people, it depends on who you talk to about him, right? But, I mean, you bring in Dominique Bowman, and, buddy, he hadn't missed a skip yet. He hadn't skipped a beat yet, I guess is the phrase. But he's going after all these Texas guys, which is interesting to me. Tyler Turner, Deldrick Madison. Tyler, by the way, I'm looking for him to be up here in a couple of weeks. Now, that's not set in stone yet, but keep an eye on that one. 6'1", 180 out of San Antonio, Brennan High School down there. I think that's one to really, really watch at the safety spot. But Jamel Johnson, a kid who's a four-star kid. He's committed to Texas. TJ Metcalf, I think, is one to watch coming off of his March 5th visit. They offered his younger brother, which goes a long way in that family based on what I can tell. So, a lot of talent, a lot of new names, and that's kind of what I was hoping to see, after a coaching transition like that. And Deke Adams, you know, I'm not sure people are giving this guy enough credit so far. Maybe it's my fault for not saying it enough.
It's your fault, Danny.
Yeah,
thanks for saying it.
Sorry, Coach Adams, but he's doing a fantastic job too. Yeah. Connor Knight is a defensive tackle, 6'3", 275, 285. Out of Pinson Valley, Alabama. I think that's another name I've kind of got circled right now. Could be trending upward for Arkansas. It's going to come down to getting him on campus. And Connor told me, I want to say last week, that he's going to be up here soon. So Caden McDonald, defensive tackle, four-star out of Georgia. Everybody knows the story there. They've got family ties all across the state. And, man, I think I'm not ready to say they're going to pull it off, but they're going to be there in the end. They're going to have a hat on the table, in my opinion. Yeah,
another four-star. All right, Danny. Well, we appreciate you jumping on with us, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. That's Danny West, everybody. Danny West, again, does a fantastic job. Nobody covers recruiting like Danny. He gets embarrassed when I say that, but it's true. You look across this whole country, and Danny just does just a great job for any team site out there. Arkansas is lucky to have him. All right, let's get a few questions, but before we do that, one more time, got to remind you there's plenty of ways to watch and listen. I appreciate you all listening to my watch and listen part. I mean, it's just something you got to say, and the reasons are, if you say it, then people will do it. If you don't say it, then they won't. And that's just the algorithm proves true on that. Be sure to follow us on Facebook Live if you haven't done so already. Also, follow us on YouTube. Subscribe. Give us a thumbs up, a like, whatever you do on those channels. We certainly appreciate that. Give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And also find us on Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere else you can think of to find your favorite podcast. Hog Sports is just $1 right now for your first month. We've dropped off of basketball. We still got basketball recruiting stuff. So the conjunction, the massive sports conjunction in March, has broken off on one part with the basketball season ending, but still a lot to follow with recruiting. And then, of course, you've got spring football picking back up. Recruiting never stops in that regard, and also baseball. So a lot to want to check out at hogsports.com. Having one of our best months ever right now, actually, this month, in terms of traffic, subscribers, all that stuff. All right, let's get to a few comments and questions. A lot of Woo-Pig Sueys. Let's see. Appreciate you, Shane James, for reaching out to other people. Can I push light you, Nick? Nick Granberry. Let's see. Who are the seniors that aren't eligible to come back? For the basketball team, let's look at the roster real quick. I can tell you Likes isn't. Amude's not. Wade isn't. Just off the top of my head. So Amude can't. Wade can't. Jalen can. Audis can, Devo can, KK can, Note can. Who else? I guess that's it, those three. Likes, Amude, Wade. Definitely won't be back next year. Matt Bounce says, if you haven't listened to Bo Maddox's interview with Stanley Amude yet, listen to it. What a bright, well-spoken young man that has it going. Whatever he chooses to do in life is big fan before. He really came into his own this season. I felt like it took him a while. I mean, to be honest with you, at the start, I was just like, man, Amude's not nearly as good as I thought he was going to be. But that changed. At some point, he started figuring out his role, had that nice turnaround jumper, started knocking down threes. Maybe he was operating the same clip on threes before, but it just, I don't know, it felt like he hit more of them to me, and then was really playing above the rim also. And rebounding, I mean, there were some games where he was just really strong on rebound. Gets up quick, snatches it out of the air, fights for it. I liked what he saw, what I saw out of Amude, especially as the season started to come to a close. Brandon Teresa Cohen says, I agree, bad calls don't make guys miss shots. We just came up on a team that was better than us. Great season. That's what I think, too. They were just better. I also think that Arkansas was better than Gonzaga, but you won't get anybody from Gonzaga saying that. But they were. They were better. And it wasn't just because Chase Holmgren was knocked out of the game. They were beating them before that. Duke would have slaughtered Gonzaga. They would have slaughtered them. Duke just has better athletes, says Isaac Riley. Unfortunately, I wouldn't be surprised if they win the championship. Ready to see how baseball continues. And so ready for football season. Already ready for football season. Brandon Malone says, I wish the play-by-play guys would call the games a little more down the middle. The zags almost made me vomit. Timmy, at least don't make it so obvious. Yeah, there are plenty of things that were going, you know, plenty of calls that were going not against Timmy, I should say. I guess you can hook somebody like, I mean, he was doing it all game. I think he got called for it once. Arkansas wins the Natty next year, bet the house. That is from Austin Kane Long. Linda Somerville says, proud of our basketball team. Lisa Hancock says, great to be a Hog. It's been a heck of a run here these last 12 months or so. I mean, basketball team has 2 Elite Eights. Football team won 9 games. Got the number 3 ranked recruiting class in football, number 2 in basketball. I mean, baseball won the SEC regular season last year, didn't finish the way you want. And I would argue this too, like in basketball, like since 1995, Arkansas's not had a good basketball season. And I'm going to tell you why that is, okay? You can have a great regular season, and Arkansas had that sometimes. You know, Bobby Portis years. There were some years, you know, Daniel Gafford, where Arkansas had great regular season, you know, with I'm forgetting some of the guys that I wanted to mention. But regardless, it goes a little further back. But Arkansas has had some great years in basketball, okay, in the regular season. They've not combined it with a run in the tournament. And to me, if you're going to say this was a great basketball season, you can't just like go 31-3 or something in the regular season and get bounced in the first round like Missouri did, I think, that one year. That's not a great season. You've got to make a dent in the tournament. You've got to at least get to the second weekend coupled with a lot of wins in the regular season for me to say that was a great season. And so Arkansas has not had a great season in basketball from 95 until last year. And then again this year, 2 years in a row with great seasons, in my opinion. Jay Will stays, says Will Lennox. I think so. I think Audis Tony has reason to stay. I don't know if he will, but I'd certainly welcome his defense back. JD stays, says Will. I think JD Notte has more reason to leave. I don't know that what he has done at Arkansas at this point is – I don't know that he's can like dramatically improve on that. Maybe if there's other threats like Nick Smith or something like that, maybe that increases things for him in terms of like, shots. Maybe he makes better shot selection. You know, that's something you take with Notte. He's going to make some shots where you go, but sometimes they go in and you're just like, oh hell yeah, JD. You know, he's so aggressive. So maybe there is something to game. I don't know that, like, from a points per game standpoint, all that kind of stuff, that if you're going to have a better season and, you know, making this run, driving this team to the NCAA tournament, to the Elite Eight, I don't know. But he could come back. I wouldn't just say it's over, but I think he has more reason to go pro than Tony does. Next football commit, asked Will Lennox. I don't know what the next one would be. Zach Williams says, excited to see football start up. Chris Light says, great year to be a Hog fan. Chris Light says, Rover, Arkansas is watching. Appreciate you, Rover, Arkansas. Daniel Prox says, we always get big recruits when Curtis goes on vacation. Can you give the man some more vacation time? He's due for some right now. I told him like the other day, I was like, dude, just get away for a while. Be with your girl. I mean, he's been all over the place, so he deserves some. But at the same time, Anthony Black is deciding, you know. I mean, it's hard, but and you got the portal season starting, you know. So hopefully he finds some time, you know, here between when the portal really gets amped up after this Anthony Black decision to take some time. Gonzaga was 0-2 against the SEC this season. That's right. They also lost to Alabama. Jonathan Mosley says, do you think the win over Gonzaga will affect Black's decision at all? So here's what I think. First of all, I think he may have had a decision made earlier. And who knows, maybe he goes back and forth. Maybe he just knows he's down to – just hypothetically, I'm not saying he's down to Arkansas and Gonzaga and he's eliminated the others. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, but maybe that's where he is and he thinks that he'll be able to decide here soon. But I don't think it matters so much who wins the game. What matters is throughout the course of the game, you will naturally find yourself rooting on one team or the other. You'll just start finding – you know what I'm talking about? Like, you'll watch a game where you have no stake in the game, but eventually you'll just kind of start rooting for one team. So which team was that for Anthony Black when he watched Arkansas and Gonzaga? Was it Arkansas or was it Gonzaga? Did he go in thinking one team and change his mind throughout the course of the game? Regardless of how the game ended, I think that that is more important. Who Anthony Black felt himself cheering for as the game progressed. David L. Perry says, love the walk and talks. JD should stay and help bring up the class coming in. If JD Notte stays, they just might win it all. And I mean, obviously, if Jalen Williams does too, they need Jalen Williams to stay. They need some help in the portal too. They need another guy who's a big, who's, you know, 6'9 at least, who can, you know, either spell Jalen Williams or, you know, start alongside Jalen Williams. I mean, kind of right now, I would think, you know, based on who we think's coming back, I'd probably say You know, and dependent on Anthony Black's decision too. But I would say right now, if everything, you know, Jalen Williams is going to start. You know, if Tony comes back, like, you know, kind of heard that he might. Jordan Walsh, Nick Smith, and Debo. Who else? I don't know. I mean, Debo didn't start last year, this past season, but he was good enough to start the year before. So who else? You know, if Black comes, then it'd probably be Black, I guess. But, I mean, it's almost pointless to try to put it together because there's work to be done. The transfer portal, I think they probably need another guard. If they don't get Black, I think they definitely need to go find another guard in the portal, need to find another big man. And probably more than that, you know, based on, you know, you're going to lose some guys off this roster. It's just going to happen. So we'll see how it shakes out. All right, everybody. Appreciate you for joining me. We certainly covered a lot of topics today. I don't think I missed on anything I want to talk about, but I'm anxious to get back out there and watch spring football. It's been nice that all that stuff has been open for us to observe. So looking forward to more of that. And appreciate all of you for joining us. Thanks for your questions. Thanks for our people that read our content. Thanks especially to our subscribers who pay for our VIP content. Keep us going. Allow us to do what we do. We appreciate that. Certainly thanks to Danny West for joining us on the show, and we'll be back with you guys. I'm hoping on Thursday. I know I keep saying that, but with the way spring football is going and everything, maybe it'll be a lot more to talk about on a Thursday versus just one day a week. So thanks, Danny West. Thanks to all of you. This has been Trey Biddy with Hogsports.com, and we will catch you next time.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.